This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we look at a provision in Governor Walker's budget that would allow the University of Wisconsin's research to remain secret.
First, if you have a friend or family member who's serious about their Facebook account, you might get this message from the social media service. Quote, Facebook now lets people choose a legacy contact to manage their account if something happens to them. Since you know me well and I trust you, I chose you. Please let me know if you want to talk about this.
So what does that mean exactly? Well, it's part of Facebook's new policy for the pages of people who have died. Account holders can designate a legacy holder with limited ability to maintain your site in the event of your death. They can post a memorial message, but they can't delete your photos and information or post other new material.
That policy was announced late last week. It's a new development of what our next guest calls virtual afterlives, new ways that our changing society remembers and memorializes the dead. Candy Kahn is with us. She is an assistant professor of religion at Baylor University. She's the author of Virtual Afterlives, Grieving the Dead in the 21st Century. Candy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Rob and Veronica. It's nice to be back.
So I'm guessing that when Facebook first started as a site mainly for college students, the last thing on their minds was, what do we do with the pages when people die? Why has this become such an important issue now for them to grapple with?
Well, yeah, I remember actually I was at Harvard when Facebook started, and I was a teaching fellow there. And so we initially used Facebook as a way to recognize the students that we were teaching. And obviously the students were using it to socialize with each other and kind of get to know each other. So I think initially when it started, it was kind of a curated diary, a really unique repository of visual and written rhetoric, ranging from the mundane to a virtual appropriation digital space in which you could kind of create an aesthetic identity, a virtual avatar, if you will, and kind of a replication of yourself in digital space. So this is, I think, the original intent, and then people started dying, and no one knew what to do. And then you were left with these ghosts, Facebook ghosts, in which the dead people would kind of hang around, invite you to play games with them. They would still suggest friends for you to become friends with. And then eventually, even worse, I think, were their digital trolls, in which you have people who are just kind of being mean, trolling the sight of dead people, writing mean things to the dead, writing mean things about the dead. And so there was more of a need at that point to really curate these spaces and memorialize them. But I will also add that the desire by Facebook to memorialize these pages is also market-driven.
Oh, how so?
Well, you got the ad spaces on the pages. So I think, you know, with 1.3 billion active Facebook users and 1 million pages of Facebook dead users, it would benefit Facebook and the ad users and companies in general that are utilizing Facebook and social network sites as a way to sell their products and advertise their product. It will benefit them to have a better idea of actually who's alive on the site and who's actually dead. So I do think part of this desire to memorialize pages and give people access to memorialization is market-driven and consumer-driven.
So Facebook introduced their new strategy, their new policy here last Thursday, I think it was. What do you make of what you've seen of it so far?
Well, I think it's a great strategy, and I think it's great to give people access to naming someone who will then turn your page into a legacy page. So essentially the policy is that you can go into your settings, you can name a contact. That contact will then receive your information when you die, and you can either choose to let them know now. I love the message, too, right? We might want to talk about this.
Yeah.
Right? Or that contact won't be notified until your actual death. So at that point, the contact that you've given can go online. They can change your profile picture to a picture that maybe you designated or prefer. They can post one last posting, which Facebook suggests you could give them the celebration of life, the memorial, the funeral details for all of those that are contact. And then they can also accept new friend request so that those friends can gather on that Facebook site to remember the deceased. So this is what that legacy contact does. But I would say that just like wills in the U.S., I mean, over half of all Americans don't have a will, even though they think it's a great idea. I would say unless Facebook incorporates some kind of automatic prompt, forcing people to designate a legacy contact, we're not going to see as much of utilization as we would like to. I just don't think, I mean, even though we all know that wills are good things to have, we don't run out and make them. And so I think Facebook will need to be a little more proactive on this.
Now, we've seen even before this, and I think you wrote about it in Virtual Afterlives, people maybe taking it into their own hands. If you're a close loved one, maybe you have the Facebook login, and people have been maintaining people's Facebook pages as a memorial. What kinds of things have you seen people do with those?
Well, a lot of it is what we call sense making, so trying to make sense of the death, you know, expressing their shock at the death, statements of lamentation, so, you know, talking about how sad they are if a person's passed on. But the thing that I found most interesting is that these pages also become centers of trying to establish bonds with the deceased, the continuing relationship with the deceased. So things that would typically happen, for example, at the tombstone in the graveyard where you're actually speaking to the dead, a lot of what is happening on these memorial pages are people speaking to the dead. I miss you. Life is not the same without you. I thought of you today when I went here, this kind of stuff.
And that's when you were on to talk about virtual afterlives, you see that as a trend, things that aren't dependent on the space where the remains are, you know, the burial or the cremation, but people carrying it with them in the form of a tattoo, a roadside memorial, or in this case, a social media. So we're reinventing the grieving space, I guess, in a lot of ways.
Oh, I definitely think so, Rob. We're definitely seeing that death interrupts us, and that we're kind of reintegrating the dead into the world of the living. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think it feels new because it's done through this new medium, but I actually don't think it is that new. Death is a very social event. We've always experienced it socially. It pre-exists us. So the fact that we're coming together in these virtual mediums, or even material memorials, so in the ghost fight, for example, or at a roadside memorial, I don't think it's that new that we're socially grieving. I think it feels new because we're on our phone, we're in line at the store, and all of a sudden we see this, you know, picture or we read this posting. And so it feels like it's constantly interrupting our lives. But I actually don't think it is as new as it may feel.
Is there a creepiness factor, though? You're playing around on Facebook looking to start a game or like a friend or something like that, and you encounter someone, maybe an acquaintance you know is dead?
Well, I definitely think that's part of it, yeah. I mean, whether I don't know. I work with death and memorialization, so I don't find it that creepy. But I definitely think that that's part of the problem, that people are on Twitter and they see this funeral selfie, or they're on their Facebook and all of a sudden someone that they still thought of regularly from high school, they realize has been dead for 3 years. So I definitely think there's this, I don't know, I mean, a kind of collapsing of time and space that we're no longer able to use our imagination to keep these things at a distance from us.
We're talking about Facebook's new policy allowing users to designate legacy holders, someone to manage their sites, their page, after they die. Our guest is Candy Kan. She's the author of the book Virtual Afterlives, Grieving the Dead in the 21st Century.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you encountered the situation that we're talking about? A friend or a family member dies, but their Facebook or other social media account lives on. And how do you feel about that? What would you like to see happen to these social media pages after people die? And what would you want on yours when you pass away? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation now about Facebook's new policy on death and social media. The company will allow a user to designate a legacy holder to have limited control over the user's page after they die.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this something that's come up in your life, encountering the Facebook page of someone you know who's passed away? How did you feel about that? What would you like to see happen in those cases? Should it be frozen in time, go away completely, or still be live and active? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. We've got Don on the line in Brookfield.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. The reason I phoned in is that my son was a very gifted artist. He mentored people at Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, and he passed away 5 years ago. And what had happened with his Facebook webpage was that people started posting messages in honor of him or in memory of him about what an influence he had had on them, what an influence his artwork had had, how much they missed his humor and his wit. And because Facebook did not have a policy for anyone managing an account after someone passes away, I have no way of administering his account, and I would love to be able to use that as a tribute to him because I'm discovering about people that he was in contact with throughout the world, and it would just be a wonderful legacy to be able to keep his account going.
Don, thanks so much for that story. Sorry for the loss of your son, but wow, what an impact it sounds like he had on people. We'll bring Candy Can back in, author of Virtual Afterlives now. Candy, are a lot of people in that situation just watching a loved one's Facebook page take on a life of its own for better, in this case, it sounds like, or for worse?
Yes, and Don, I'm also sorry to hear about your son. It sounds like he was an amazing man. But what a beautiful tribute. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're finding that most of the Facebook pages end up being positive tributes. I think the problem that occurs occasionally is when people can no longer curate the space. So this is what the legacy context allows you to do. It allows you to decide. It basically freezes it in time. Now, some people don't like that because they want to continue to be in conversation with the deceased. But without having access to the password, you can't choose which of those posts you want to delete and which of those you want to leave there. And so it can be problematic, for example, when someone, let's say a woman dies and then her ex-boyfriend posts some derogatory comments on the site, and that's upsetting to the family. So this is the kind of thing that Facebook's trying to prevent and trying to get a hold of and to be able to allow the family, the grieving family, some kind of control. But it sounds like in your case, Don, it's just been a wonderful way to celebrate the memory of your son.
Don, thanks for the call. We'll go to Allie in Argyle now. Allie, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My condolences to him as well. I would feel very uncomfortable with my Facebook being remaining open after I passed away, simply due to the fact that a friend of mine passed away last year, and his Facebook page is still open. And since he's passed away, I've had several messages from him asking me how I'm doing, and it's really creeping me out.
Allie, thanks a lot.
Yeah, that's definitely a problem that we are seeing in Facebook. And you might want to see if you can contact his family, Allie, and suggest maybe they just aren't aware that they can have the Facebook page memorialized. Because what happens is you can have the account either deleted or it will be frozen or it can become one of these remembering your friend's web page. So what you might do is contact Facebook, one, and two, contact the family just to make sure that they are aware that this is happening.
Yeah, as I understand it, under the old policy or non-policy maybe, if Facebook was notified that someone had passed away, they would freeze the account even if you weren't a designated legacy holder because they didn't have that at that point. Do you know if I have that right?
Well, I think they'll freeze you. They need to get a death certificate. And sometimes, unfortunately, it takes several weeks, Rob, and several repeated attempts. So it could be the case that they've been notified but haven't been able to follow through yet, or they haven't gotten official certification. So, Allie, if you can even locate a newspaper obituary with your friend's death and then that's enough for Facebook to act on the account. But I'm sorry that's happening because that is the problem with these social network sites. It's a little bit creepy and it's sometimes scary.
Allie, thanks a lot for that call and good luck in resolving this. Something I noted in this new Facebook policy, Candy, is that if you're the legacy holder, so if I'm the legacy holder for someone and I'm in charge of their site, I can't go through and delete old photos or delete old information, meaning in effect, I guess, I can't go through and sanitize the memory. What they put up there stays up there.
That's correct, Rob. And so you can only change the profile picture. And I think one article I read talked about how if you had posted a picture as your profile picture, like as a joke or something you didn't want for posterity remembering you, then they could change that. But essentially, you can't go through and curate the site. You can't change it. And I think that's a good thing because the way we remember people isn't always the way they remember themselves or the way they see themselves. So, yeah, but that is definitely one of the more interesting aspects of this new policy. You can't go through and change or delete any old postings, any old pictures. You can only add and accept friend requests.
As we wrap up, do you expect to see now, maybe with this new policy or maybe just in general, more intentional memorials on Facebook and other social media?
I hope so, because as Allie described, it can be a little bit unnerving. My grandfather, no one has memorialized his page, and people still write on it and tell him happy birthday, and I don't think anyone's told them that he's deceased, and it's a little bit disturbing sometimes to see these messages wishing him a happy birthday, and he's been gone for almost 5 years. So I really do hope people are more intentional about this, and the other thing is, you know, you're digital legacy actually has a monetary value. So it really is something you want to close. You don't want people having access to all of that. And I really think, you know, if you want to protect your estate and your assets, your digital assets need to be protected as well.
And this is just going to keep getting more important to us as we keep using social media more and more, right?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Particularly as we begin to move away from using monetary currency and even cards. I mean, as everything becomes more electronic, it's going to become much more important.
Candy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Veronica.
We've been talking to Candy Can. She's assistant professor of religion at Baylor University. She's the author of the book Virtual Afterlives, Grieving the Dead in the 21st Century. We've been talking about Facebook's new policy for the sites of users who pass away. And you can join in the conversation still with your thoughts over at the Central Time Facebook page, not a memorial page that is still active.